Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. I'm waiting for a call from KIRM Radio. And as soon as we get that call, we'll be going live on KIRM.net. That's AMFM. And if you know somebody out there that wants to listen on the internet, it's KURM.net. That's K as in K, U as in you, R as in Robert, and M as in Michael. KURM.net. And in just a moment, the call will be coming in. We'll be getting our live broadcast on KIRM Radio, which is 790 AM and 100.3 FM. So we'll be local on the air, and they should be calling here any second now as they're winding up the broadcast with Mr. Kermit, the Colonel, who happens to be broadcasting right now. So looking forward to a great conversation, and we'll get started in just a moment. And really enjoyed the interview with Daniel Seckham this morning. You can get that, by the way, by going to our archives on omegaradio.org, the website, or going directly to blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. And those programs are available. The archive of the programs are available to you. So it looks like they're running a little bit over at the radio station in Rogers, Arkansas, which is where I normally am on a day like today. Here comes the call. Get ready.
There.
Good morning, Dave. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Vincent. Stand by.
Pay with commission incentives to equate into a nice situation. Work is done in comfortable facilities, and an effective salesperson in those 6 hours a day can earn $30,000 a year. Incidentally, we'd be interested in talking with individuals who might like to represent the station in some of our outlying areas, like Delaware, McDonald County, and other areas. Send your information to KIRM Radio, either by fax to 479-631-9711 or email to KURM.net. We look forward to seeing you either before or at the job fair.
This is Dave Van Horn, head coach of the Diamond Hogs. You're listening to the voice of Razorback Baseball, KURM Rogers, Springdale, Bentonville, and KURM FM Gravette, Southwest City, Siloam Springs.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you today. I trust we're going to have a good hour together. I want to begin our broadcast in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. That's John, chapter 9. And here's what we read. Okay, pay very special attention. This is laying the groundwork for where we're going today. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of God, or of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, for two millennia, people have been referring to the ancient wisdom of Scripture, knowing that the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. Cultures may, generations may. God never changes. The wisdom of the Word of God teaches us many things today. And the Lord is telling us that a time is coming that will be called night. And when the night comes, no man will be able to do the work. What work is he referring to? Particularly and specifically, that is the work of the kingdom of God. Jesus was doing the works. He was healing the blind man in this scenario. He was opening the ears of the deaf, loosing the tongue of the dumb. He was raising the dead, casting out devils, doing miracles, signs, and wonders everywhere he went. He was doing the works of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, supernatural kingdom. But then the Lord said a time would come when these works would cease to exist and that nobody would be able to do anything. However, when we balance this word out with Matthew chapter 25, we find this parable about 10 virgins. And I'm sure that you have all read the parable of the 10 virgins. At least I would imagine that you have. And we know that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But for the benefit of anybody out there that has never read this parable or heard this parable, let me share it with you. It's in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So we're talking about the kingdom again. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. So here comes that night, that season of night that Jesus was talking about. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So that's the parable. And Jesus has chosen that parable to distinguish two kinds of people, wise people and foolish people. The wise people prepared. The wise people took oil. The nighttime is coming, ladies and gentlemen. No one is going to be able to do the works of God in the public arena. However, the wise virgins will have their oil, which means they will have light even in the midst of darkness, which means they will be performing the works of God in those very special places. Just like in the Old Testament, there was the children of Israel in a place called Goshen, and there was light in Goshen, but there was darkness upon the Egyptian Empire. And so we have a parable here that's calling for preparation. Now, yesterday, a gentleman by the name of Tyler Durden shared an article concerning a recent power grid failure in New York. Now, this recent power grid failure in New York caused panic and even stoked the fear of an alien invasion, with so many dependent on the electrical power grid, it is important to be prepared for the worst. Now, even President Donald J. Trump has taken it upon himself to sign an executive order declaring an electromagnetic pulse, or an EMP, could be debilitating to the United States power grid. Well, far too many Americans won't know what to do when the inevitable finally happens. And things will get dire should we have to live without power for more than 1 week. Here's what the executive order by the White House said, and I quote, it is the policy of the United States to prepare for the effects of EMPs through targeted approaches that coordinate whole of government activities and encourage private sector engagement, which again is telling us to prepare. Well, a congressional report warned that an EMP attack on the East Coast would kill 90% of those in the area over the course of 1 year due to the lack of food, money, fuel, electricity, and medical care. Now, someone may be raising an eyebrow or someone else saying, we've already heard this before. But ladies and gentlemen, these concerns are justifiable. And though you may have been hearing terms like nuclear bombs, nuclear detonation, electromagnetic pulses, these are new ideas and new thoughts within our generation that have come upon the world stage. And just because you have heard it before does not mean you should ignore it. Remember the boy that cried wolf, right? And that was an intentional deception. I don't believe anybody is intentionally deceiving the nations of the earth of these grand apocalyptic ideas that are being presented to the mind of man today. In fact, they're probably more plausible than at any other time in the history of mankind. Listen, the infrastructure is crumbling, and while the government claims they intend to secure the power grid, most of us know much better. The best the rest of us can do is make sure we are armed with knowledge and the survivalist mentality. It will show itself to be important in the days ahead. You see, Americans largely have put their survival in the hands of the government. But if you're hearing this, you probably want to become more self-sufficient. And beginning by preparing for a lengthy power grid failure, regardless of whether it was an EMP attack or an infrastructure failure, is a great start and an excellent first step when fueling your prepper's mindset. Okay, I'm reading this article from Mr. Durbin again, and it's so interesting to me that this article came out yesterday, because I was also studying at the same time, independently, of course, of the writer of this article, in John, where Jesus was saying that the nighttime is coming. And then I referred back to a vision that I had in 1993. I believe this is why God has me, this insignificant little man, on the radio, because he's revealed some things. And in 1993, I had a vision, and in my vision, I went up into space, and all there was black. I saw no stars. I saw nothing. It was just black. And then I began to descend, and as I began to descend, I could begin to see stars appearing around me and planets. And as I continued to descend, I could make out our planet, planet Earth. And as I continued to descend, I could make out the North American continent. I saw the tail of Florida. And then I began, as I was coming closer to our Earth in my vision, I saw little lights on. They were spread out, few and far between. There were little tiny lights from a very high perspective that were spread across the country. Again, very few of them. Then, as I continued to descend into this nation, I landed in what I believe was around the Boston area, the East Coast. And as I was making landfall, in my vision, the atmosphere was charcoal gray, like Russia had just taken over the United States. Now, back in 1993, I want you to know that I knew nothing about electromagnetic pulses. I had not had any visions or dreams or interpretation or revelation about nuclear bombs going off in this country. I was very foreign, a very young pastor at that time, and yet I had this open vision. I shared this vision on a radio station in Zarephath, New Jersey, and in the vision, as I landed in that charcoal gray atmosphere, I could hear a man walking like it was midnight. And I've always shared that. And again, I just read you the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. Around midnight, a cry went out. And at that time, I could hear the echoing steps of this person like they were walking on a cobblestone road. And it was just a charcoal gray, very fearful atmosphere. And this individual in my vision went to a house where there was a light on. He knocked on the door immediately. A man answered the door. That man's frame filled the entire doorway, and he had what I believe was X-ray vision. And he was staring into the man that was knocking on the door, wanting to come in. And immediately, this man discerned through his vision, his ability to look into the heart of this man. He knew that he had been a Christian playing games with God, going to mega churches, never really serious about God. But now the fearful atmosphere, the big churches had been shut up and locked up and shut down. He was just afraid and he wanted rest for his flesh. Well, at that moment, I was taken in the spirit to the living room of that house. The very first thing that caught my attention was that there was somebody laying on a couch. There were 7 or 8 other people around that person praying for them. There was a big jar of golden oil with the lid off of it and the odor of that divine oil, if you will. And then there was music in that living room that was so pure. It had such a sound. It was the most beautiful environment you could ever imagine. Well, the man of God at the front door knew that if he let this person come into that house, it would disrupt the flow of the Holy Spirit. He knew that it would quench the Spirit, and that divine activity going on in that little house would have stopped. So the man rejected him, shut the door, and in my vision, that man went to another house, and so the vision ended. Well, as I'm reading about this electromagnetic pulse, which I had no idea was even an issue in 1993, I believe today that God showed me a time on this planet that there is going to be an electromagnetic pulse, a total darkening, a total blackout, and there will be few lighthouses representing areas or pockets where the kingdom of God will still be manifesting. And that's why in my vision, people were being healed in that living room. That's the works of God. Now, when the nighttime comes, nobody's going to be doing it in the public arena. Nobody's going to go to your church. Nobody's going to have a conference. It's not going to be that way. It is going to be a very select few that have been preparing for this moment, which God has made abundantly clear to whosoever has an ear about these days. Now, again, the one thing that you want to do when you start thinking about preparations is there are certain things you can do, and I'm going to save that for just a little bit here, and I want to put something else together. I want to share with you out of the very mouth of the President of the United States of America, John F. Kennedy, what John F. Kennedy had to say about the nuclear sword of Damocles. Now, for those of you who don't know, the nuclear sword of Damocles or Damocles, however you share it, was an old playwright from Cicero. And in this classical presentation, he used the idea of a sword, a furbished sword, a sharp sword, hanging over the seat of every emperor that was dangling by a horse's hair. That goes all the way back to the 1800s. I'll get you the exact date on that. But here, in 1961, on September 25th, 1961, John F. Kennedy, President of the United States of America, said these words.
Today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Every man, woman, and child lives under a nuclear sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident or miscalculation or by madness. The weapons of war must be abolished before they abolish us.
All right, so let me just read to you exactly what John F. Kennedy said. Here's what, this was the 45 seconds that I just played for you from his own mouth, but I wanted you to hear the nuclear sword of Damocles. Okay, here's the exact quote. John F. Kennedy said, "Today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Every man, woman, and child lives under a nuclear sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident or miscalculation or by madness. The weapons of war must be abolished before they abolish us." Ladies and gentlemen, there has been no abolishing of these kind of weapons in the world today. In fact, they're probably getting more sophisticated than ever before. What is it that the president of the United States knew that was going on in the conspiracy theories? What did JFK know about the nuclear sword of Damocles? Well, here's an interesting little thought about this. On September 21st or 25th, 1961, President John F. Kennedy addressed the United Nations and voiced these words that you just heard. He used a similar reference to the sword of Damocles in March of 1960 when he said to the farmers in Shawano, Wisconsin, while on the campaign trail, and here's a quote. He said, "Supply and demand are now in rough balance, but our wheat and corn surpluses hang over the dairy industry like the sword of Damocles." Well, whether discussing the United States economy or global concerns like nuclear weapons, President Kennedy favored the sword of Damocles reference. You know, one must be struck by the reference to sharpening or chaperoning students at the JFK Library last year and the museum, that the choice of words that he gave came from a story told by Cicero in his Tusculan Disputations, and you can look that up on the internet, the Tusculan Disputations. And there's a lot more to say about why he chose those words, but how significant for every person in power to know that there is a sword hanging over their throne. And over the nations of the earth, there is a nuclear sword, John F. Kennedy said. In 2004, I was driving up Interstate 15 from San Diego to Temecula, California. I'll never forget the day as I was driving with my eyes wide open that I saw in the spirit several nuclear bombs going off in major cities across the country on the same day. I saw the mushroom clouds as I was driving. I tried to sweep the thought out of my way. I rebuked it. I began to pray. And I suddenly found myself very attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who said at that time, "This is where terrorists want to go. Their design and desire is to take out several cities with suitcase nuclear weapons or dirty bombs or some other bomb, nuclear, and to collapse the United States in 1 hour." In 1 hour. And you find that in Revelation 18, that it actually happens to Babylon globally around the world. So at that time, that was back in 2004, I began to understand that there was a plot, that there was a plan revealed by the Spirit of the living God that is now the number one concern in our Congress, the number one concern in our Homeland Security, the number one concern. These are the two major concerns facing the world right now, an electromagnetic pulse and nuclear weapons being detonated in Washington, D.C., Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles, San Diego, Atlanta, New York, and other major cities. And you could imagine, with 7 to 15 nuclear bombs going off in 7 to 15 major cities across the United States on the same day, that this nation ceases to exist as a superpower nation in the world today. And the things that would follow, well, we're hearing again from all of the experts out there that millions upon millions, 90%, and I thought this was interesting in that particular article, by the way, about the power grid going out, that they're saying that this is going to happen on the East Coast. A congressional report warned that an EMP attack on the East Coast would kill 90% of those in the area over the course of 1 year, because they don't have food, They don't have money. They don't have fuel, electricity. We've already seen the Mad Max movies. We know about the conspiracy theorists or the dramatic theme about these things. But what if I were to tell you that these very things that we're talking about right now are biblical and are written in the Word of God for the wisdom of God to prepare a people for times like this? For example, the nighttime comes. No man will be able to work. And we could go on down the list at how many times the sun is darkened. There's no light on the earth. We could find scripture after scripture about these things. And so my question to those who are listening today, how important do you think it is to be a wise virgin and to prepare for what is coming? And I believe that we are going to see, yes, I'm going to say it out loud, a summer of terror is going to hit the United States of America. And where people need to be on high watch is at hospitals, malls, universities, churches, and summer tourist landmarks. Wherever the tourists of this country are going to go to the landmarks, high alert, a summer of terror. We're already witnessing an outbreak of plagues in Los Angeles, California. There's a measles outbreak that is breaking record numbers right now. And in Georgia, an outbreak of hepatitis A. And ladies and gentlemen, the proclamation of an outbreak of terrorism and violence within our nation once again has come and is knocking at the door. But what is this outbreak of terrorism? What is this outbreak of violence? Is it just some kind of progression, or is it absolutely intended? Well, to answer that question, we go back to the great prophet Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 10, verse 5, we'll read it again. O Assyrian, that's the Muslim world today, ladies and gentlemen, the rod of my anger. So the Assyrian or the Muslim today is the rod of God's anger, and the staff or the weapon in their hand is my indignation. Now, the weapon in the hand of the Assyrian is God's indignation. If we read in Ezekiel, we would find that the king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was given a sharp sword, and he was to go and strike Israel and destroy the temple. And you know what happened in 586 BC when the Babylonian Empire destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, and everything involved there, because he was given a weapon, the sword in his hand. Now, the Assyrian today, the Muslim today, the Islamic terrorist today, they have a sword, they have a weapon in their hand, and it's God's indignation. And verse 6 of Isaiah 10 says, I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. So here God is giving power to the Assyrian to tread down Israel, to spoil Israel, to take the prey. That was going on in Isaiah's day. It was the Assyrian Empire. It was the time of judgment upon the nation who had turned away from God, forsook the Lord, blasphemed God. Same thing happened in the days of Jeremiah when the Babylonians were coming, another Islamic reality to destroy. And in today's world, in the Judeo-Christian United States of America and over in Europe, a once Christian nation, you are witnessing the darkening of these continents by the Islamic invasion. You have seen terrorism on both of these continents, and you are going to continue to see terrorism, like in Sri Lanka, on Resurrection Sunday, a couple of days ago, where 315 people were killed by bombs. Now listen, the bombs that went off in that church and those other places in Sri Lanka were the firecrackers. The big bombs are ready to come. You go to any 4th of July display, and you'll see it starts out with some nice little things, but it crescendos with the massive big boys. When you talk about a big boy, you think immediately about 1940s, when the United States of America dropped a fat boy, a big boy, on the island of Japan, along with a little boy, right? Two atomic bombs that devastated that island. Here's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot counter the bombs that are going to be going off in this country by going to an island like Japan and dropping a bomb on it. We're not going to be able to go to Iran. We're not going to be able to go to Iraq. We're not going to be able to go to Afghanistan. We're not going to Pakistan. We won't know where. Why? Because the enemy that is among us is an organization like ISIS, an underground terrorist organization that have been working for years for the very moment that we are living in right now. You can't drop a bomb. They're here. They're among us. They have infiltrated. They have blended into our society, just like the terrorists that detonated those bombs in Sri Lanka. They blended into the people before they did their dirty business. But now America is set up in the hospitals, wherever the most people are, the hospitals, the malls, the universities, churches, summer tourist landmarks. Ladies and gentlemen, where is this coming from? Well, you just saw that God put the weapon in the hand of the Assyrian. But when you go back to Revelation chapter 17 and you read in verse 15, this is Revelation 17:15, and it says this. He said unto me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall make or hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. America is the mother of whores in her conduct around the world by the way she conducts herself. And here's what the word says. Not only is she going to be made desolate and naked, and they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire, but verse 17 says, for God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Let there be no mistake. God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his word. What word? America has sinned grievously against the Lord. And for 50 years, God has been sending prophets to this land saying, repent, repent, repent. And not only have we refused to repent, but we have snubbed God again and again. We have done worse than Europe has done. We have done worse than foreign nations have done. And we are more accountable because we know better as a Judeo-Christian nation to offend the Almighty God. And yet we have done it. We've done it here. We've done it in Israel. We participate and practice the abominations that are going to bring about the desolation of our nation and other places around the world. A great strike. A great nuclear strike, a sword, a Damocles sword, a nuclear sword, according to the president of the United States, that was assassinated by the conspirators within this nation, the real conspirators, the real shadow government, the real behind-the-scenes people that are operating and controlling everything. America is the hypocritical nation. We are so hypocritical, it's scary how hypocritical we are as a nation. And ladies and gentlemen, these days are upon us now. We are going to discover in the very near future that patriotism is not enough to stay the tide of righteous judgment against a nation that has done what we have done, from pedophiles to homosexuals to lesbians to abortion, the shedding of innocent blood, pornography, and the culture that's turning the hearts and minds of our young generation away from God, the lukewarm Laodicean attitude that exists within our nation. It is all real. It is all real. God said it would be better to be ice cold than to be lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. There's a little tiny stirring going on right now in some camps. We thank God for that. But we're going to find out that it's not about freedom. It's about life. I know a lot of free people that are dead spiritually. We're going to find out patriotism is not the answer to our present crises. Repentance towards God and faith in his son is the answer. The only answer for America is not Bernie Sanders, not Donald Trump, not Peter Buttigieg, or any other Joe Biden, or any of the other 25 to 30 people running for the presidency of the United States, which is absolutely insane. The people that are running, it's insanity. It truly is. None of them are our help. There is no hope outside of a nation falling to its knees. And because you know and I know that's not going to happen, we must declare to the people it is time to prepare, because the midnight is coming, the darkness is coming, the nighttime is here. Ladies and gentlemen, you must begin to prepare more feverishly than ever before. And that is why God has put into my heart to start home churches. Back in 1993, when I came down, it was not in a church building. It was in a home that the glory of God resided. I have been calling out now for a couple of weeks. I'm going to continue to call out to that person or individuals in Centerton, Arkansas, who are willing to open their home to begin a Bible study where saints of God could come and pray, study the Word of God, and begin to develop strategies for preparation. Now, we're not doing that as a competition. We know there are a lot of great churches in the region, and we know that there are a lot of people that resonate with what I'm saying right now, but their church leadership would never address it. They would never tell them to get land. They would never tell them to get water. They would never tell them to get food, because the majority of them are talking about a pre-tribulational rapture, and it's disarming people from preparing. So we are being called by the Spirit of God to plant a church in Centerton in a home, so that that home would be available to people who agree with what we are saying, so that we can gather together and be encouraged, look at the Word of God, and join forces in preparing for the inevitable day that God has revealed. He started telling it by John F. Kennedy in 1961. It's been ongoing ever since that time, and we are here today, and I do believe that we're going to understand that freedom is not the cause, but life is the cause, and there will be much loss of life, which brings me to my next point today. To that individual that is listening to this radio broadcast, I mean, you may be saying it's undeniable truth, it's undeniable reality, and we agree. But you need to know something about your life. You need to know why you're here right now. You have an assignment. You have a job. You have it. Now listen carefully. You may not be the president of the United States or a Fox News anchor or a CNN anchor. I don't care what side. You may not be a big wig in a corporate organization. You may have no significance in this world at all. But I want you to know, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you become one of the most valuable assets on this planet. Remember what it says in Romans chapter 1. We're going to go through this one more time, and I'm going to explain to you what I'm trying to get across to that individual today. In Romans chapter 1, we've all heard this very familiar passage. It says in verse 26 of Romans chapter 1, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due them." Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient." What is a reprobate mind to those that practice those particular sins? Well, a reprobate mind literally in the Greek means a worthless, useless, rejected. Now, the mind of a Peter Bidegu, who's married to another man that's so articulate and wants to become the president, he isn't going to serve any useful reality to the mind of God, to the kingdom of God. He is rejected. He is worthless. He is useless. And those are the kind of leaders that are leading this country. You have useless minds, worthless minds that have rejected the knowledge of God, and therefore everything they're promoting is going to burn in the fire. That means you who are born again, spirit-filled, have received the grace of God, the mercy of God, in the blood of Jesus Christ, and are walking with the Lord, you become the most valuable asset because you have the mind of God. You have the Spirit of the Lord. You are more valuable than many birds. Remember Jesus said there's not a bird that falls to the ground that he doesn't know about? Well, he said you're of more value than that. And in the book of Timothy, let me just read this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, concerning you who are listening today about your assignment in the days in which we are living in. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll begin in verse 20, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Do you want to be useful to the master's use? Do you want your life to grow exponentially in its value? Stop comparing yourself with people that are rich. Stop comparing yourself with people that are in positions of power in this sin-sick world. Because I'm telling you, not one person that sits in a seat of power that does not have the mind of Christ is useful for anything. All of their ideas about socialism, all their ideas about communism, all their ideas about capitalism, none of it really matters if it is not guiding the nation under the laws of nature, the moral laws of God's creation, and the supernatural laws of holiness. Listen, you have leaders that want to sit in the office of president that hate Jesus Christ. Now, Peter Buttigieg, whatever his name is, Mr. Buttigieg, he wants to tell the world that God loves gay, that God made him gay, that he's a happy gay, that he loves doing things with his lover, and this is all gay. And so we're going to have the first man of the house, right? Not the first lady. This is insane. But in the world we're living in, these are the kind of leaders that people are putting into power. And I'm telling the Christian community, watch it. It's going to happen before your eyes faster than what you think. Because we are in the time of judgment. We are the hypocritical whore. We are the nation that is targeted. And God is going to release Islam like we have never seen. And he's going to release some other weapons of war. Maybe China, maybe Russia, maybe North Korea still. Who knows what weapons are designed for this hour to take out the great United States of America. And God is calling for his church to wake up to this reality. Now, not everybody agrees with what I just shared, but there are those who do. In fact, there are those who know better that what I'm saying is the truth. It's not only biblical truth, it's what's going on in our country and around the world. So what do? We gather together in homes. God has put it in my heart while I was driving through Centerton a couple of months ago that there would be a house church there. I am waiting for the call of that family or that individual that is willing to meet with Patricia and I and to come together and sit down and talk and break bread and see if it would not be worthy for a few saints of God to gather into a home a couple of times a week for a Bible study, maybe midweek, and a gathering on the weekends where we could gather together and break bread and not be paying bills, exorbitant bills for buildings, not asking people for money for buildings. Maybe we could just get back into the home and trust in that vision in 1993 that the glory of Jesus Christ is going to manifest in that home. I actually started with my wife, Patricia Joy, by the grace of God in the 1990s. We traveled all over these United States of America, and we started home fellowships. From Jersey City, New Jersey, to San Diego, California, we put those who were once deacons, we raised them up, we put them in positions of pastoral ministry in homes. And ladies and gentlemen, it was an awesome work. 1996, those things dissolved. We learned a lot. And now it is time to see this seed. You know, it reminds me of Peter that's been out fishing all night. And the Lord comes and says, "Go out again and cast out your nets." And he says, "Lord, I've been fishing all night. We caught nothing, but at your word, I'll do it." And so we're just moving at the word of God. And they caught a great catch of fish. What we want to do is gather together of those of like mind We are wanting to gather together with people that understand the value of our salvation, that understand the grace of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the benefit of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit. And yet, a people that know spiritual warfare, a people that understand that we don't just treat lightly this great salvation, and yet are not legalistic, but are sincere about their walk of holiness and purification, and then a people that understand what time it is now. What do you do when you, when your president, when your Congress, when other leaders who are not completely dysfunctional by their reprobate minds, because they do have Christ in their hearts, when they tell you to prepare? Well, here's what they're telling us to do. They're telling us to start by storing extra water. What's really cool about Northwest Arkansas, go dig a well. You can't do that in Southern California. Go to your backyard and dig a well. No, no, no. You got to go buy it. But you could dig a well or have one put in. And if you have a well, you are already a giant leap ahead of those who do not. However, you will need to figure out a way to retrieve water without power. So if you have a well that goes 400, 500, 600, 700 to 1,200 feet deep, and you're using a pump to get it out, well, start thinking, if an electromagnetic pulse comes and wipes out everything electrical, do you have some backup ones? Do you know how to put it in? How are you going to get that water out? It may be the best water in the world, but how are you going to get it up out of the ground? You should begin by making sure you have enough water for at least 6 weeks. Now, each person will need about 7.5 gallons of water per day. That seems daunting, but it includes drinking, cooking, washing clothing, and personal hygiene. Believe me, 7 gallons in a day for the time of use is a fair estimate. The next thing that you need to do is store some food. Find a safe place you can hide away bulk, non-perishable food items. If the grid fails, grocery stores will cease being stocked with food and will eventually run out completely. Now, let me just interject a thought here. When this nuclear strike takes place, or this electromagnetic pulse comes and the nation is broken, when it collapses, when it gets hit, well, out of the ashes, whether it be a month, 6 weeks, 9 months, a year, when we come back, here's what you can expect. A new one world government that the only way you'll be able to buy or sell is by receiving the mark of the beast. I personally believe that the strike is going to come first, and out of the ashes will come what the Bible has called a time of global governance, and it's all being prepared right now. So you want to get your food, get canned vegetables, and go to the store and get as much as you can extra every time you go. The last step for right now is to find a cool, dark place to hide your food and water. Yes, it should be hidden. Consider keeping your stock of supplies a secret, too. The fewer who know, the fewer who pose a threat to your supplies if a grid failure stretches past the week mark. People get desperate when they are hungry, and you may need to defend your food or water if too many others know what you've got and where you store it. Keep a survivalist mentality. Rely on God. Prepping for a grid failure is one of the best ways to ensure the health and safety of your family in a worst-case scenario. Well, our government has prepared for a worst-case scenario. There's no doubt about that. And you should prepare as well. Okay, what I'm going to do is open the lines. We've got a few minutes left. If anybody has any questions or comments about what you heard today, or something you would like to just bring an exclamation point, the number to call, 479-636-7979. Our brother Dave is going to be there to take the calls for us. 479. Did I call Dave my brother? Well, okay, praise God. 479-6. I hope he wasn't offended by that. Maybe, hopefully he was really blessed. 479-636-7979. Are you ready? Have you prepared at all? Have you done anything? Are you waking up? Do you need to? Do we need to gather together in that home in Centerton, California? Waiting for your call. 479-636-7979. How does today's message touch you? How does this come across to you in this world? Got the NBA playoffs going on. Got political issues going on. The left wants to impeach Trump again. Everything they've tried has failed. We've got all kinds of little maneuvers going on everywhere. I mean, there's so much going on in our world, right? And yet in our little quiet, peaceful place, we have joy. We appreciate and value every day of life more than freedom. Paul was in prison, but he was a free spirit. Hallelujah. He was walking in life. Life is what God wants for you. This world doesn't want life. We've created a culture of death by this shedding of innocent blood everywhere. We've created it. We're going to pay for it, period. If you want life, regardless of where you have been in your animated life, and you want spiritual life, now's the time to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Because if you were to die today, as a friend I was talking with yesterday, who was in a car accident on Interstate 40 when it was raining last week, he spun out at 60 miles an hour. Thank God he hit the center of the dividers. And I, you know, if you died, where were you going? You see, most people are totally oblivious that today may be their last day on earth. Life is a vapor. We are called to do what we're doing, but nobody has a promise of tomorrow, not an hour from now. But we do what we do while there's light, while there's an internet, while there's opportunity on radio, while we can warn, we must do it, right? While we have time, because a time will come, unless you're in a little ham radio down the road, broadcasting to whatever signal may exist, what we're doing right now will not happen. I'm asking you, if you live in Centerton, you have a home in Centerton, if you would be interested in starting a Bible study, which would begin, first of all, by meeting with Patricia and I and just sitting down and seeing if we're on the same page or not, getting to know each other. If you would be interested in doing that, I want to give you a telephone number to give me a call or a text, and you could call me or text me and just say, hey, I live in Centerton, Arkansas, and I have a home there, and I'd like to open it up to a Bible study. I've been listening to this, and the Spirit of God has borne witness in my heart. No expectations, no promises, just I'd like to take that first step. The number to call me at is 858-864-8712. We'll keep our conversation between ourselves, and we'll see what God will do. 858-864-8712. You can text me there and call me. And it's late. I think it's a great time to begin the work. And then we believe that we're going to continue to start home fellowships in this country. It's what God showed in 1993. I believe we're so close. And by the way, again, I want to say to the people that God said, you're a homosexual, you're a lesbian, you're a promoter of what is evil. God has turned you over to a reprobate mind, which means your mind is useless, rejected, and worthless concerning the things of God. However, if you would turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you for your sins that you know very much well of, don't trust Peter Bidegu, who said God made him gay. He's a liar. The word of God is true. Let the word of God be true, and every man a liar. Peter, you're a liar, and you need to stop spreading your lies about God made you that way. God didn't make anybody that way. Men burned in their lust one toward another is the reality. And if you're operating in feelings, well, your little feelings just have to get under the power of the Holy Spirit and get yourself straightened out. Forget your feelings. They're nonsense. They're subject to deception. Now, it's time to work. But if you are a Peter Buttigieg or Bidegie, whatever the name is, forgive me, or one of the other 30 people that are running for positions that have worthless minds, they will do nothing to advance the cause of what is right and good. Nothing. But they can repent. They can turn to God and say, this is a useless cause operating without Jesus Christ in my heart. This is a useless cause. You may love your patriotism, be a defender of freedom. It's meaningless without the cross. It's totally meaningless without the cross. You've been very quiet out there today. I trust, as we're broadcasting from a remote location, that we were coming through loud and clear. I trust that the lines have been open to you to call in. I trust that there are many of you that are listening, but you're really not sure what direction to go in or talk or say. Well, maybe that's why home fellowships are so powerful, because we can talk about these things all day long. Our life in the Word of God, preparing for these things. And you're not talking to someone who just talks about this. Talking to someone who came here 10 years ago under the same mandate and assignment to prepare. And so we believe in preparing the body of Christ for the spiritual impact that's going to hit with the demonic release, preparing the soulical part of the body of Christ because of the mental, emotional impact that a major strike is going to have upon people. I was walking to my car yesterday from the hospital visiting Sean, and I just happened to say, excuse me, I'm going to get into my car. And the woman was there with her door open. She didn't see me. She goes, oh, I was so afraid. What are you so afraid about? I just said, I got to get in my car. Because you know why? Because people are exactly like that. Just beneath the skin of their flesh, there's a realm called panic. And if you don't deal with that and get ready to get that thing properly adjusted, you're going to flip out when you see what's coming. They've tried everything in their power from Hollywood to desensitize your mind, to get you not afraid by what's coming, by showing you images so gross. But what's coming? There's no remedy for what's happening beneath the skin of your flesh. Only the Holy Spirit, only God's love that is revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, only the demonstration of the blood of Jesus will ever give you what you're looking for, which is genuine peace, to know you're loved and you are valuable. You're out there today and God is saying it's time for you to be valuable. It is time for you to be valuable to God. You have His heart. His word is in your heart. You have His mind. Walk in it. Continue to work out your salvation. Be available to the Lord. And who knows, you may open your home and begin to participate in God's end time plan. You may support a radio ministry like this on Kerm Radio by sending a donation. You are a supporter of the work of the kingdom because this is kingdom work. There's no doubt about it. Get involved at some level. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I've got to run for now. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday, 9:45, right here on Kerm Radio. Until then, God bless you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and I would like to cordially invite you to come out every...
All right, so that looks like the end of our program on Kerm Radio, and I'm going to say goodbye for now on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure to go over to omegaradio.org and listen to the discussion going on right now from Deliverance, the Roundtable Discussion. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day.